Let's start. This is Charles Kahn. I'm an architect, retired architect, living in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I'm speaking with Charlie Sappenfield, who is also an architect, a distinguished architect and educator, who is one of the people involved in really the development of architecture in the area, and when he moved out of it, in other areas around the country. Charlie is in Fort Myers, Florida, where he is retired. And so I want to start with Charlie. Did you want to make your initial statement now, Charlie?
Yeah, I'd like to.
All right. Let's do that, and then we'll get to the other questions, okay?
Okay. First off, I'll be talking a lot and saying I a lot. But I would have anyone who hears this know that I have always been a team. I've had encouragement and support from family and friends and bosses and fellow workers and clients and public and students. And it's that interaction that I really relish. My favorite job was my job as Dean of the College of Architecture and Planning at Ball State, which involved both the professions of architecture and landscape architecture and planning, but also involved students and curricula and professionals and teaching and the public and management and administration. So that with those caveats, that's where I begin.
All right. Well, why don't we get started then on just some trip through your professional career.
Okay.
Where were you born?
I was born in Columbia, South Carolina, and we lived there for 9 years. In 1939, my father was transferred to Charlotte, North Carolina, and we moved into the Elizabeth neighborhood, a neighborhood of all levels of middle class and upper class, I guess, and next door to Independence Park, the natural end of the park. So already then I had an interest in. Also, in those days, in my preteen days, the Charlotte Observer newspaper had an annual home show home. And more than once, it was designed by the architect Charles Connolly. So when I was 10 or 11 or 12 years old, I heard of my first architect. Charlie Connolly built old halfway modern houses that were modernized colonial, I guess you'd say, and out of brick, and the brick was painted white, so his white houses are still around in Charlotte. And I was happy to know that he was an architect, so that was in my head somewhere along the way. The I biked to those houses that the Observer would build, and I also biked quite often to the Mint Museum of Art, and I took art lessons there, but I also went there just as a destination, and when they would have changing exhibits. Then when I was 13, Well, let's see what your next question was.
Well, you have just answered my next question, which, when did you first develop an interest in architecture?
That was the beginning, and then it continued in 43 when I was 13. My dad took me on his business trip for a week in New York City.
What was his business, Charlie?
Well, he managed 52 Seaford's department stores that eventually merged with Belk's, but not in his time. So I've known everything you could know about the department store business, at least in its past. And so he was on a buying trip to New York, and the first day we were there, he took me to two people whom we bought men's clothes from, and there were people who visited us in Charlotte. Their names were, Saul Lipkin and, what was the other? At any rate, two guys who, when they can't travel through Charlotte, would always come to our home for a home-cooked meal, and they loved to be with our family, and we had a wonderful time knowing people from a different culture. So, at any rate, while we were in New York, then I was on my own the rest of the time, and I toured Rockefeller Center and the boat tour up to see the skyline and the Empire State Building and the Museum of Modern Art for my first time. And that was exciting to me. So I was fascinated with all of the architecture there in New York City.
When did you graduate from high school? What year?
1948. But I had a nice experience in 1944. I had a teenage work permit for Martin's department store, one of the Eford stores in Charlotte. And I was the assistant to the show window designer. And then when I wasn't helping her, I was selling men's clothing or shoes, or I even sold McCall's patterns and Playtex panty girdles. I've always had experience that I got from that department store experience of helping satisfy other people's needs. And I think that's an architect's strength.
Indeed, indeed.
So then the window designer was from Texas, and she was taking a trip to Texas, and we had friends in Texas who had invited me out there. So my family let me go with her on the train to Houston, and then she went in another direction, and I got on a bus and went to Harlingen, Texas, down on the border. And so I got the chance to cross over and see another culture in Mexico when we crossed the border down there. Then on the way back, I was all on my own. This was at age 14, so I was on my own, and so I traveled overnight to Houston and spent the day in Houston and seeing everything. And in those days, trains and buses went to the middle of the city. And then from Houston, I went to New Orleans overnight, spent the day seeing New Orleans and the French Quarter and so forth. And then overnight to Atlanta and spent the day seeing Atlanta until I finally made it home to Charlotte. But at any rate, seeing those cities and the buildings in them always stimulated my interest.
So you started college in 1948, and you started at NC State?
Yes. I wanted to tell you one other thing, though, and then my high school times. From 1946 to 1948, the last 2 years of high school, I managed the school bookstore, and I had one subordinate that I managed, plus the stock and so forth, so I had a very nice management experience then. And then I was taking a technical drawing course in 1947, my final year in high school, and the drawing instructor recommended me to a nearby architectural firm, Biberstein and Bowles. So after school, I went 3 hours per day to run their Oslid print machine and to get out the mail and mailing the prints from the office. And they were a firm that specialized in textile mills. And Mr. Bowles and a man named Mr. Reed were my mentors in that office. And they even let me, when there was no prints to be done, they let me do alternate layouts for textile machines within column spacing. So I got a little bit of fun there. So then I graduated in 48.
48 was the year that Henry Kamphaefner came to NC State, wasn't it?
I was in the first class there under Henry.
Uh-huh.
And I had a wonderful experience as a first-year student with Duncan Stewart. I had him for basic design, and he excelled in creativity and mind-opening challenges and wonderful critique, and just a beautiful man.
You had Duncan for the full first year or just the first part of the first year?
First year.
And then who did you have in the second year?
Second year I had George Matsumoto. And George instilled in me a kind of design discipline that followed me through my life. So he was... I'm not sure where George had graduated, but he had a very specific design discipline. And then the third year, I had Jim Fitzgibbon, who was just the opposite of George. He went for more freedom and for natural form and native materials, and was a wonderful teacher as well. Of the three of those, I couldn't have hoped for any better instruction. They gave me influences I felt for a lifetime.
And in the fourth year?
Fourth year, we had three different teachers, and I think the first of the three, we were on a quarter system, first of the three was Hugo Leipziger Pierce. He was a planner, I think, or an urban designer from Europe, but he absolutely put us all to sleep. I don't know whether... Were you there then? No.
No. Let's see, what year would that have been? That would have been 41? I'm at 51?
51 and 2.
Yeah, no, I didn't come until 52.
Okay, So maybe you missed Hugo.
I missed Hugo.
And then the other two, I've forgotten who they were. Maybe one of them was Joe Boas, but I've forgotten.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, but Fitzgibbon and George were there when I came, and I had Fitzgibbon for my third year also.
Oh, you did? Well,
yes.
Good.
Yeah.
So what did you do with him?
Oh, geez, I'd have to think about that, and I can think of... Your description of his being interested in form and much looser than George Matsumoto's direction is quite true. And I think I had George for my fourth year and Caminos for my fifth year, which was my experience in the school. Anyway, so you really were in the first class, and that was a class...
But I did not graduate in that class.
Because
I had missed working in an architect's office in the summers since when I was in school, and that was a requirement. So So I had to, didn't have to, but I left school because I was 4F. Everybody else had to go to the Korean War. But I was 4F because I weighed 150 pounds and was 6 feet 2 inches tall. And then the Army drafted me after, well, now I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me tell you about what happened.
Well, let me interrupt you for just a second. Did you stop school between the fourth and the fifth year, or?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But so, in the summer of 49, I got a drafting job at the Ornamental Stone Company in Charlotte. That was in between my first and second year at NC State. And the Ornamental Stone Company was headed by two wonderful mentors, brothers, Essen and Fred McCandless. They were the owners of the company. So I worked for them in the summer, and I enjoyed it so much, I worked a second summer. And what I did was, I don't know whether you knew that in all the brick buildings we built in North Carolina, we always had at least a fake limestone sills, sometimes trim around the windows, sometimes columns, and other ornamental features made from a fine bit of precast concrete. And so when those plans came into the company, I took the plans and made individual cards for each piece of stone that had to be made so that the workers would make the forms. They had to make special forms for each one to do it. So that was, it was interesting to me because I saw the architecture of everything being built in North and South Carolina.
Was that experience one that was accepted in the school as a summer work for an architect?
No.
Okay.
So that was the summer of 49 and 50, and then I had intended to get a job with an architect in the summer of 51 before my fourth year at State. But they offered me something I couldn't turn down. They offered me the job of going to Charleston, South Carolina for the summer and driving a pickup truck when it wasn't fashionable to drive pickup trucks and taking two of our best black workers there from our company with me, going to the airport at Charleston, the old airport in Charleston, into a former Air Force building, and setting up a shop to make the cast stone for the Sergeant Jasper Hotel in Charleston. They had decided it was going to be cheaper to make it down there than to make it in Charlotte and ship it. So I had the wonderful opportunity then to take those two guys and to hire two more black guys in Charleston who were wonderful workers, all four of them, and to make all of that precast concrete for the Sergeant Jasper Hotel that summer. And that was an opportunity I didn't feel I could pass up. So that would be the summer of 51. Can I digress a minute?
Sure.
Well,
Did Henry give you a hard time about that, if he knew about it?
What? Who?
Henry? Did Henry Camp Effner, who took an interest in everybody and...
No, he didn't give me a hard time. I think he appreciated the fact I had that experience.
Oh, okay.
But I had graduated from high school with a girl named Jane Ramsey, whose father had been head of the Naval Ammunition Depot in Charlotte, and then they moved to Charleston, and where he became commander of the Minecraft fleet. It was Captain Alston Ramsey. And they lived in a beautiful four-story rice mill, old rice mill, and which had been turned into an officers' club on the two lower floors, and their house and apartment on the upper two floors. And Jane had made her debut with the cotillion in Charleston, 20 other girls probably. And so when you make your debut in Charleston, you have to have a party in the summer and invite everyone made their debut to come to that party. So Jane invited me to go to all those nice parties that she was invited to. You should see the reaction when I would drive up in my dirty pickup truck in my tuxedo and have the guards at the gate, and I'd have to tell them I'm here to see the captain's daughter. They would die laughing. But that was fun. So I had a really full summer down there. So when I went back to school in 52, I had that year ahead of me. And then when I found out that I couldn't graduate with my class, that I was kind of tired, and the fourth year with people like Hugo Leipziger Pierce, that was the first bad instructor I ever saw at NC State. I wanted to get away a little bit, so Henry Camp Effner helped me get a job in Chicago, where one of his former students from Oklahoma was the chief designer, Bill Priestley. And so they gave me a job, and my closest manager was Chuck Hogan, who was a great mentor and taught me a lot. And we did all of Mies van der Rohe's architectural work, his professional stuff. So they had done for Mies the 86880 Lakeshore Drive black steel and glass apartments. And I always had been proud of the opportunity I had to remodel a closet, I think it was, in that building, so I could say I worked on it. So that was 1952 in Chicago, and as I said, I was 4F. Well, the Army in the winter of 52 really needed people, and so they decided they could fatten up skinny guys like me. And so they drafted me in January of 53, and in 6 weeks of basic training, they fattened me up from 150 to 175 pounds, and I grew from 6'2 to 6'5. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So then Then in the Army, I was there for a 2-year stint. So I had first went through basic training and then clerk type in school, and then went through a 2-year secretarial program in 5 months. And so that took about a year. And then for the following year, I was secretary to 2 colonels in the Planning Board for European Inland Surface Transport. Very exciting to be in a NATO office.
And was that in Europe?
That was in Heidelberg, Germany, in the headquarters of the United States Army in Europe, USAR.
And what years were these?
That was 53 and 54.
Uh-huh.
And so I got to tour Europe. I think I had about 6 weeks of travel. Excuse me. But I also got to see most of Germany on. So it was a great tour, and I wouldn't trade my 2 years in the Army for anything.
Uh-huh. Well, that explains it, because I didn't think that you had graduated with any of the classes before I got to the school. So you came back from you dropped out at the end of your third year?
No, end of fourth year.
End of the fourth year.
And so I had my last year to start, and I was out of the Army in December of the year before. So in 55, I guess it was, January of 55, I decided that I would see what the mountains of North Carolina were like, and I got a job in Asheville, North Carolina with J. Bertram King.
Yes, I remember Bert King.
And then I worked with him for the 9 months until school, and then when I went back to school, I had a wonderful, fabulous teacher, Horacio Cominos, and I don't know whether you were in that class or not.
What year was that, Charlie?
55 and 56.
56. I think that's the class. We were in the same class then, because I had Cominos.
That's what I thought.
Yes, and I graduated in 56 also.
Okay.
So now my memory is becoming refreshed. Okay.
Tell you, when I could say I had, out of a 5-year career in the school, I had 4 of what must be the world's finest teachers, I felt really good. I think I was awfully lucky. You were too.
Yes. Well, that's very interesting. I hadn't realized that. Ah, okay.
So when I graduated then, I went back for the summer to Asheville to work with Bert. But the faculty asked me to stay on and teach for the 56th year, starting in September. And so that was a wonderful chance for me. I taught first year basic design. Had wonderful faculty to teach me how to teach.
Who taught in the first year with you?
I think Duncan was one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've forgotten who else. But it was a wonderful experience. But then I realized that, again, I was doing what I wanted to do rather than what the law said. So I realized that North Carolina would not count teaching toward licensing. So I had to go to work for for an architect for 3 years. So after that 1 year of teaching, I had to resign so I could get my license. And so for the next 3 years, I worked with Bert in Asheville. And it was nice to work with Bert because he gave me free rein with clients and credited me as designer on our award-winning projects like the Asheville Country Day School. And that was quite a nice 3 years to work in Asheville, and we did several award-winning projects, and I appreciated that, the chance to do that.
Did you work with Bert on George and Karen Stevens' mountain home in Little Switzerland?
No, that was after my time.
That was after your time. Well, that's so you worked for Bert
for 3 years.
For 3 years.
60.
And then you.
I knew I wanted to teach and practice, and I needed a master. I was getting my 3 years for my licensing, but I needed a master's degree for teaching. So I applied for a Fulbright to Denmark and got it in 1960. So I began my Fulbright year at Denmark's Royal Academy. And there my mentor was Hans Hartvig Skorup, who was a practitioner and teacher. And I was exposed to a wonderful faculty and student body, plus travel all over Europe, especially Scandinavia. So then in 61, I returned to Asheville, and Hyman Dave of Dave Steel Company said he was waiting for me. What a nice compliment that was, to design for him an all-steel house on a beautiful small plateau on a mountainside. So I started my office. But in addition, those 2 years of 61, 62, and 62, 63, I was teaching in North Carolina State, and I commuted to Asheville on weekends and to get my practice started. And then I had enough jobs going that I had to move to Asheville and stop the teaching. So after 2 years then, in 63 that was, I moved to Asheville and really opened a real office. And just as soon as I got there and opened, the dean at Clemson, Harlan McClure, asked me to commute down and teach basic design there. And so I commuted 2 hours each way, three times a week, from Asheville to Clemson to teach for them. So that was, again, a wonderful teaching experience with two other people in a three-man teaching team for 75 freshmen. They were John Acorn, a sculptor, and Vernon Hodges, a historian. So I had gotten so much business going, I had several employees, tendered my resignation for Clemson when I received an invitation to come to Indiana to interview for the deanship at a school to be started at Ball State Teachers College, which was changing to a university and adding a brand new College of Architecture and Planning.
And what year was that again?
That was 65. Mm-hmm. So I had gotten married in 63, and we had one son, and so we moved them to Muncie, Indiana. And my practice really was pretty sporadic after that. So it was, I had enough job at getting that school started.
Yes, well, I remember that that year. I moved to, that was, I moved to Kansas to start the school there in 1968, I think. And so it's interesting how much we paralleled one another.
Did you start the school there?
Yeah, they had a program in architecture in engineering school. And they asked me to come and be the head of the architecture department. And I told them I wouldn't come unless they established it as an independent school.
Good for you.
And so they did. Well, anyway, let's keep going about you.
Well, let's see. There wasn't much practice after that, and I was dean for 15 years and 15 more as professor, and I retired in 95. And while I was that 15 years as professor, I also started an outfit called Design Indiana to promote Indiana designers. And gosh, I served in those 30 years on all Indiana AIA offices, and I served on state commissions, and I served on the AIA board of directors, and I continued to learn, though, because you learn a lot from hiring and dealing with 60 faculty and staff and 600 students in architecture, landscape, and planning. You understand that?
Yep, yep.
Well, I've been a very lucky guy.
Well, my goodness, I'm just looking over what I had listed as questions to ask you, and you pretty well covered all of them.
Well, I've had to think about that. I've had a day to think about it, so that's... there must be a lot of other influences in there. I was interested, once I thought about it, to see how much management experience I had in there that I hadn't really thought about.
You think the management experience did you a lot of good, certainly did you a lot of good in managing the school, I know.
Yes, but I also think the selling experience in department store, the idea of serving people, I think is very important. Mm-hmm. I think there are some people who think that architecture is an ego trip. But it is a teamwork proposition where you're serving others. And I feel that's quite important.
Well, I've kept you a long time, worn out your vocal cords, I guess. What I would like to do, Charlie, if I could, would be to maybe stop now and let you think about what we've said to one another and the issues we've covered, and then get back up with you, maybe in 3 weeks, a month or so, and see if we can wrap up any other things you think might be of interest that we could add.
Good.
Okay? And in the meantime, what I'll do is I'll ask George, when he gets this, he's going to manipulate it and put it on the... Triangle Modernist Homes website, which you will probably be able to access almost immediately. But I'll ask him to send you a copy of it anyway.
Please have him do that. I appreciate that, Charlie.
All right. Well, I don't know what else I can say. Do you ever get up to North Carolina?
I will come up in May or June, so I'm coming through, so... And I thought this time I might spend a week or so there because I'd like to photograph some of my work that's 50 years old now. So.
Uh-huh. Well, if you, I don't know if you remember, but I remember that in the Dave house, you racked me into collaborating with you and some of the structural things in the Dave house.
Appreciate that, too.
Anyway, well, we go back a long time together, old friend. We do indeed.
I'll tell you, it's really nice. I'm just hoping I can exist 4 more years so we can be together for the... And you, too, for 4 more years, so we can be together for the 50th anniversary of the college.
That would be really very nice, wouldn't it? Yes.
That's what I'm hoping for. Uh-huh.
Well, anyway. Well, Charlie, thank you very much.
Thank you. Give Annette my love.
I will. You haven't told me about your family. One is always reluctant to ask people about their wives and for fear they may have passed on. You've not said much about that.
So after 25 years, Mary Fran rediscovered her teenage romance when she was 19 and he was 28, and her parents wouldn't let them be together. But she rediscovered him, and he was from Evansville, Indiana, and so she left me and married him.
Whew.
So I've been without a wife since then.
Uh-huh.
I've had some nice years in Denmark, and I have lots of nice friends. So.
Uh-huh. Well, when you finalize your plans to come up here, I hope you'll be able to take off at least a day or so and spend it with us, and we can go over to the school together or do something together.
Good. Let's do that.
And let's just plan to get together.
Okay.
All right. Well, Charlie, good to talk to you.
You as well, Charlie.
And Annette is here, and she sends her best wishes.
Okay, good. I send mine to her for sure.
And we'll both look forward to seeing you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.